Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in. Oregon remains the Pac-12 champions for 2019 in football. Thank you, Pac-12 coaches, Matt Freeman. And a couple other folks out there for doing a lot of our work today. A lot of interesting topics. Twitter, social media, well done today. Bill Belichick, thank you. Thank you so much. You are a comedian. These guys who rule with an iron hand. And I'm going to gently draw this parallel. First of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Your support, your listenership, your textership, your tweetership, all of it, emailship, very much appreciated to allow us to do this on a daily basis and technically not have to work for a living. Thank you ever so kindly. Should you want to participate, 284-8571. It is the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We've got a text line, 3210824. We've got Twitter handles galore, at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. Bill Belichick talking about didn't knowingly cross the line. I don't like to give away what are you doing, but is anybody listening around here looking? You invented the line. You know right where it is. Liar. It was like, and then him saying he had nothing to do with it. Yeah, because in the Patriot organization, it's just so haphazard and random. Belichick doesn't have his fingerprints and his footprints and his butt prints over everything.
Butt prints.
Well, you know, yeah. It's for emphasis. It reminds me of...
You really put a bad taste
in your mouth. Please,
no, I wasn't. God, no. A bad mental image.
Did I make it worse?
It a whole lot worse. 2 minutes.
All right, so welcome to the show. We're going to start over again. Is this a redux? So we'll get to that. Hot stove, getting kind of interesting. Pac-12. All conference performers, pretty funny stuff there. This list that ESPN came up with of the 150 greatest coaches in college football history. Chris Peterson, number 58, really?
You did the fake thing.
I know, that was Jared Zebranski, it wasn't Chris Peterson. How about my Giants last night?
How did you just pull that guy's name at the Boise State quarterback running back who did the Statue of Liberty? You just know that name off the top of your head?
Jared Zebranski, Ian Johnson. Remember the runaround end to beat Oklahoma?
I remember
Ian
the play.
Ian Johnson gets down on one knee and proposes.
What's it called when
you
propose?
You want to get married
girlfriend?
And all that kind of crazy stuff?
The thing you do when you want to propose.
Jared Zebranski. It's legend. 2007, by the way, Marone. It's going to be 13 seasons ago in a couple weeks. That's kooky nuts.
Today I learned.
I mean, they didn't win a title. He's got the Huskies in it once. See, Mike, by the way, top 150 coaches, Dennis Erickson, 81, Hugo Bezdek, the only Oregon connection on there. And I'm like, is Chris Peterson's list of accomplishments that much more substantial than Mike Bellotti? Who's in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I scanned. I went And by the way, Mr. Patience, you know, normally picture your laptop when you can scroll super fast. So I went, once I got to 50, I just hit on the arrow so it would go, you know, it would scroll through. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I was like, that's a Hall of Fame coach. There were some names on there that I was like, well, they talked about this Cracker Jack staff. It's subjective. I mean, I'm sorry, most of us, and I don't mean me and Nick and, you know, people who work in this business. I'm saying if you're a really big college football fan, you've got the same information Tim Tebow does. He's not more qualified to do research and concoct a list of 150 greatest coaches. So, well, they called it a blue ribbon panel. Who the hell gave those guys the blue ribbon? What are they, at the state fair? Are they the nicest pig? I'm not accepting this list, so we'll get to that. But Bill Belichick saying he had no say in something that was directly related to the New England Patriots organization is, I'm going to need three letters. Okay, I've got an L, I've got an I, I've got an E. It's a lie. I don't believe that for one second. And yes. I am not in any way even sort of almost remotely attempting to compare. But one of the things that pissed me off the most about the scandal at Penn State was people saying, well, what did you want Paterno to do? You mean the man that ruled Happy Valley that just had to go like this? You did what? McQuarrie, you saw what? Hello, chief of police. Take care of this now. Click. End of scandal. So, yeah, me no sale. No sale for me. No soup for you. So, screw that. And I've been very, for a diehard New York fan, considering the city they play in, the success they've had, you've rarely heard me talk ill of the Patriots. I thought Deflategate was crap. I was like, with Spygate, yeah, is that really the reason they're winning? And now I'm like, okay, are they just cheating scumbags? I mean, at what point is it like, one, two, you know, you keep getting hit over the head, all of a sudden it's like, you can't keep fending it off. You either got to take a standing eight count or readjust your defense. But, yeah, the Rutrow news that came out about people who've seen the audio. And by the way, has anybody mentioned they're playing the Bengals? You're going to get caught spying on the Bengals. The 1964 AFL champion Patriots could beat the Bengals now.
To see, that's the one thing about all of this that it's just kind of like, okay, maybe it wasn't actually spying that, you know, they were actually doing, they probably cheated and spied in other ways, but it's the Bengals.
What's driving me bonkers.
It's these Bengals. Like, you really think Belichick needs, like, an extra 8 minutes of staring down the sideline and analyzing tape and, you know, cutting and pasting things together to beat the Bengals?
Oh, my favorite part is
Bengals.
I like when they're caught with, you know, for those familiar with the Honeymooners, Ralph Cramden, when he got caught in a lie by his wife, Alice. Hamana, 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 hamana. So the guy got caught. Well, what are you doing taping the sidelines? We're doing a documentary. Yeah, that's the ticket. Wow.
I saw online someone found that in the original Spygate, that was the Patriots' excuse as well.
Oh, really?
It was, look, if you get caught doing it, just say you're doing something exclusive for our website regarding scouting and how scouts work.
So this has nothing to do with the 2020 Super Bowl or 2020 election. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely not the latter.
All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a phone call and bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
We just tuned in. We're turning back. It's almost too bad to play golf. But what do they actually do to cheat? I mean, if a guy's playing poker, he puts his hand open to you a little bit, you look. I mean, that's not cheating. It's an opportunity, right?
But are you videotaping the room so if a guy opens his hand, you could see it regardless of if you're looking?
Oh. think yeah. about that time. But
yeah, you know what? You wait till it rains harder, Fred, and then go play more golf.
All right, let's play poker sometime.
All right, take it easy. So he was taped in Cincinnati during the game against Cleveland, denied any involvement. And I like how he says we're competitive and we'll try to be competitive in every area, but we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that's crossed the line. And then he actually mentions Spygate, and it's like you want to be like, oh, so you do get why people are a little bit suspicious of you. It's like there's no way to know, but you kind of know. Who's the one that does the, I don't know for sure, but I know. Oh, that's real time. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. A tweet earlier today came from a friend of the program, Matt Preem of 24/7 Sports. He was asking about the most underrated Ducks who've played this decade. I guess he's doing a cumulative piece. And by the way, again, folks, this decade. I'm going to be like Herb Brooks with that line sprint. Again. Because I know people are going to start calling up and saying Mel Renfro, and some of you are going to try and prove how long you've been Duck fans. Since 2010, think the unbeaten regular season team. Somebody threw out Kenyon Barner, Darren Thomas. I brought up Taylor Hart. It's a very interesting conversation. And I'm going to leave it to most of you to establish the qualifiers because, you know, Jonathan Stewart or Haloti Ngata or the Five Stars or the, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau couldn't be in this category because expectations start really high. And it's somewhat unfair. They're more likely to be viewed as an underachiever even though they were all superstars and NFL players and just yay when they came here. So, And the good part about it is, being a certifiable lunatic, I went back and pulled all 10 seasons of letter of intent signing day material. So if you pick a guy, I can go back, say what his what the coaches had to say about him, where he stood rankings and star wise, you know, when he started to play. So I'm well prepared for this topic. And by the way, you can call us 284-8571 or you could text us 321-0824. Byron Marshall historically deserves a special spot.
Statues. Multiple statues.
For running for and receiving 1,000 yards. In different seasons, well, obviously the same season he'd be Roger Craig.
Back-to-back seasons as well.
Yeah, no, it's just fantastic.
Underappreciated, I'm just saying.
Now, the question would be...
Be money.
When... That's underappreciated, underrated. Well, does he get enough credit for... When did he become a Duke? Was he on the Natty?
First team
to play for the Natty in 2010.
I think that was his freshman or maybe sophomore year, because he went to the same high school as me, and I remember he was on the freshman team and he got 7 carries for 7 touchdowns, and the next week was on varsity with his brother Cameron, who then played at Arizona State.
Well, that's really good information.
It is, yes. Cameron Marshall has one of the best underrated highlights that I've always enjoyed, probably because he went to my high school. But he was playing...
Which high school is that, by the way?
Valley Christian in San Jose. And Cameron was playing against USC at ASU, and it was like a game on Fox Sports or something. Like, I don't know. It was like a Friday night game or whatever. He straight up hurdled a USC like cornerback after he caught a pass. Like the cleanest hurdle you'll ever get. Got up, like was sprinting, jumped over him, landed on his feet, and kept running. Like he was completely prepared for that. It was phenomenal.
Why don't I have him on my, was he like a late signing or something like this?
He might have signed in 2013 in that class and then played.
You may be right.
Might have played a little in 13.
Byron Marshall, 2012.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
He came out of Valley Christian High.
I wasn't lying.
No. It's just, you see it here and it's like, oh, right. Somebody mentioned Alex Balducci. He was a U.S. Army All-American. He came here with big expectations. And by the way, so did Byron Marshall. So I don't know if he's underrated. I do like your underappreciated, because when you do something, I mean, it's not, there's a difference if you have a great game, but if you do something, an accomplishment that is that historical and unique, I don't think, when's the last time anybody talked about Byron Marshall talking about the great Ducks?
No, he's not talked about.
No.
That's why I always
it's a good
him
one.
Up.
You've made two A-plus contributions in the first 14 minutes of this show. That might be a record for anybody who's been on the show, including me.
Can I retire?
Yes. Costanza, just get the hell out of here. What are you doing home? So Bree's going to be like, what are you doing home? You don't understand. If you weren't listening, I couldn't go out on a higher note. I'm done.
I couldn't even post the podcast because I literally just left.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Somebody said Johnny Munt, and I was thinking of him. First of all, the fact that he wound up having a pretty substantial, he's still a tight end on a team that went to the Super Bowl, but when did he play at Oregon? I'll get to that. So he was probably a 2012, 2013, and he's out of Modesto. So we'll check on that. I seem to remember him being relatively highly touted, but he was class of 2013. We're on a roll today. We may both have to walk out of here on high notes. So by the way, look at that class. Tyree Robinson, he came out, he was a four-star recruit, listed 10th among the nation's tight ends. It's an interesting call there. And like I said, he's come up a couple times, and I just threw this out there, so we have not had that many suggestions. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump in, let's get to Dylan. Dylan, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. So I got three for you. I'm going to go Patrick Chung, Jairus Byrd, and then the kid I went to high school with, who was a walk-on, Brent Haberle.
Okay, now remember, we're looking for this decade. So they had to have played on the 2010 team or later. Chung was...
Oh, 2010. Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking 2000.
Yeah, decade, sorry. Not... what's the other thing called? Century. But Chung was... You know, Chung is eternal, though, because he was a two-star, and he's still playing in the NFL. So, yeah. That's spot on. All right, appreciate the call. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I also want to talk about Oregon State and Washington trolls on Twitter. Because, hey, I get it. One of the things I actually enjoy about social media is some really good back and forth ball busting. But the whole troll thing... I'm actually embarrassed for a couple of the Twitter handles. That one of them is Bucktooth Beaver, something like that, and the other is that college football quotes complete failure of a human being loser. It's like, look, if you want to troll Twitter during game week and get on Oregon's case, but right now, especially. If you're a Washington or an Oregon State fan, you need to literally shut up. You're breaking the rules. You should have your Twitter accounts suspended. You were victimized by the biggest rout in the history of the conference. Oregon won the conference by 4 games. The division, I mean. Do you realize what a rout that is? And you both lost to them. Doesn't matter how, you both lost. I know it was close with the late comeback against the Huskies and OSU very much in the game until the fourth quarter. You both lost. It's so embarrassing. I am so embarrassed for you people. Because if you're familiar with match play in golf, who's the guy that mouthed off about Tiger and he played a match play and it was over on 10? If you're familiar with match play, it's hole by hole. So you could be 9 up with 9 to play. So if you see that number, but then if you win 10, it's over. You leave. You don't play 11. That's what happened. Oregon against the North walked off after like they made a birdie on 11. It was that much of a rout. It's that much of over. They kicked your ass that bad. And by the way, if I came across this and I was covering Syracuse and somebody said, check out this Pac-12 thread, these idiot Oregon State and Washington fans trolling Oregon, we'd be like, for what? They own you. You're the you-know-what. You're their B word. It's not a doubt. It's not a question. It's nothing to do with history. It's for this year. They own you. You bow before them. They kicked your entire ass sideways, lefty, righty. They took your girlfriend, your beer, everything. Mortgage to your home, car keys, everything. You're owned. Just shut up. Stop. STFU. It's just the well, you guys, no. Start after the national championship is settled, when it's at least into the 2020 season. For this year, you were humiliated by them. It was Nixon versus McGovern. I mean, it's that much of a rout. Maybe your home state voted a couple of people. Everybody else, it's a landslide. You're humiliating yourself with every keystroke, with every breath you take. You're an embarrassment and a joke. So, yeah, just stop. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I want to get to how weird it is. So the coaches, which I think it's important to reiterate, the Pac-12 All-Conference team was released today. And I want you to think about this going into break. So Oregon on offense was represented by Penei Sewell. Remember, the dominating Pac-12 champion Oregon Ducks, who walked away with the division like no one's ever seen before, and the team that was supposed to be their equal, that was the overwhelming favorite to win the South and play in the championship game after they kicked their ass sideways. So now that we got that established, and you know me, I don't usually like to play Oregon honk, but this is ridiculous. They were represented on offense by Penei Sewell, first team, and defensively by no one. Some second team. So here's my thought. And C.J. Verdell, second team on offense. Shane Lemieux, second team on offense. On defense, let's see, Troy Dye. All right, so we're going to take a call, but going into break, you can't have it both ways. If this is what the coaches thought, then how did they not vote Cristobal Coach of the Year? So think about this before we get to our call. If they're saying he didn't have the best players, but he won the conference in a waltz, how is he not Coach of the Year? If they were loaded with all first team and all second team, I'd be like, well, he had the best players, so it can go with either Smitty or Witty. Otherwise, it's like, you can't, what they voted, you can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. It's a very, very short list. It's like column A, he had the best players, thus the other guys did a better job coaching. Or B, he didn't have the best players based on your vote, and he won it easily, walked away with the conference title, and he's Coach of the Year. Pick one. All right, let's take a phone call to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Bill. Bill, good afternoon. How you doing?
Just fine. Hopefully yourself also.
Thank you.
I just add to your litany of descriptive terms there. How about we took their seat on the couch?
Okay. Oh, nice one. Like the Kirk Herbstreit ad.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Bill. All right, think about what I just said. I'll get to some of your underrated players, and we'll have an update and more crunch time next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
got two downs to get it done. Third and goal. Pressure to the end zone. He catches it to Zach Ertz. Wentz to the end zone. Wide open. They did it. Zach Ertz. Eat that W, Philly.
Could you imagine? Was he like rubbing it in? Is he like an anti-New York guy? I might have to smack him if I ever see
it. That W is the dumbest thing that's ever happened. There are a lot of, well, butt fumble is number one of the dumbest, funniest things that's happened in sports of the decade. For sure the NFL. Jameis Winston's, hey guys, let's get out there and eat that W, throwing up a W in his hand and then licking his fingers like they were covered in sauce.
Yes, yuck.
And then losing a game against the Saints on the road. Funniest, dumbest thing to happen in sports this day.
Alrighty.
And Tessitore's just dropping that in the broadcast? That's too good.
Alright. Well, alrighty then. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Hit us up via the text line, 3210824. Try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly and the show for Nick at Rick Nodgers. So the all underrated team for Oregon since the start of the decade. So they would have to have played in 2010 and beyond, not before. Somebody mentioned Joe Walker, and I'm giving you their recruiting prowess just so you know what was expected when they got here. Walker came here as a JUCO. Even though he played 3 years, he was rated the top junior college linebacker upon his recruitment. There were pretty big expectations for him. And, of course, he went on. He'll forever live in legendary lore for the 100-yard return of a fumble against Utah when I always want to call him Cato Kalen. What was it? Kalen Clay was his name? The Utah receiver who dropped the ball? Sure. I can't get past Cato Kalen, OJ's guest, whenever I think of that guy. I know that's terrible, but I can't lie to you about it. But that was Walker's return. He was class 2013. Somebody mentioned Kiko Alonso.
Oh, Kiko's great.
Yeah, you know, he really had the breakout in the, ironically, the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. He was the best player on the field that day on defense. We have a great picture here of him launching himself at Russell Wilson, and they both have their eyes closed. He's like the lion that's about to, and Wilson's like, I'm going to get eaten. It's a great picture. We should actually take a picture and tweet that out. It's an awesome shot. But he was the 38th ranked linebacker in America, class of 2008. And, you know, could he be underrated if he's a high NFL draft pick and he's had a career? By the way, multiple people have chimed in with Jeff Mail, part of my favorite receiving duet with no block, no rock partner, Drew Davis.
So I don't think what whoever did, whatever the player that gets nominated, I don't think what they did in the NFL is all that important on their Oregon legacy. Like,
you might be right. Like I said, I'm not setting the parameters.
I don't
here.
Think those two things go. You can't say that. You know, I mean, that would make Marcus look like a lesser player at Oregon because he struggled in the NFL. It's like, how good was he? Was it just a good year? Got a fluke? It was with a running back and a wide receiver. He's a quarterback. Wins the Heisman. Of course, that
can't really be underrated and win a Heisman.
Well, I know. I'm not saying, but like, you know, I don't think it matters what they did at the next level or what they've done in
high
school.
It doesn't.
Like, it's just like, you know, this guy isn't talked about enough as having like a really key role on these Oregon teams, and kind of came out. Maybe he did come out of nowhere.
But
from
you see
high
what
school.
You're doing now? You're properly setting the parameters. I was asking what would make a player underrated. So there's not a right or wrong answer. There's a lot of good answers.
Okay.
And now also time has a way of kind of offering its personal alteration. Mail was a money guy when he was here. I mean, I don't know if he was really underrated. First of all, a lot of you were bringing him up, which means a lot of you thought he was really good. Or did a lot of you think he was a little Underrated. Underrated. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Just got a direct message on Twitter. Somebody said, Lavoisier Tuinet.
That is my favorite name to hear.
That's a very cool
Don
name.
Essig say, like when he got a Lavoisier Tuinet. Oh, I loved that. That was my favorite. And Rancho Cucamonga. Anybody from Rancho Cucamonga.
And who was it? Was it Ed Dixon from Bellflower? Also was a really good one. Are we still angry with LT for not going house against Auburn, though? Remember he kind of got caught from behind, broke into the open field. Is that the most nitpicky thing I've ever done?
Absolutely, yes.
Guys, anybody out there, you with me? Am I right? Don't get me right if I'm not right. I am wrong. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, you could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. So about the Pac-12 All-Everything deal. First of all, the major awards. The Offensive Player of the Year, Zach Moss, running back, Utah. The Pat Tillman Defensive Player of the Year, Evan Weaver, Cal. No surprises there. The Freshman Offensive Player of the Year, no surprise, Kedon Slovis of USC. Basically going to rewrite the Southern Cal record book. First Trojan to throw for over 500 and didn't even play a full season. Freshman Defensive Player of the Year, Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, where he started out flashing. Well, maybe I'm flashing talent. I think I need to be careful there. And how he ended up just an absolute terror down the stretch. I mean, what the just in pure hours, the amount of sleep he's going to cost opposing offensive coordinators and offensive line coaches and running back coaches and quarterback coaches of the other 11 teams over the next, well, I'm going to say 2 years for sure. It's going to be intense. And the coach of the year is Kyle Whittingham. And like I said, he had the offensive player of the year. He had three starters of the 11 on offense. Tyler Huntley, Zach Moss, Austin Jackson on the offensive line. And on defense, he had Lecky Fotu, who Dallas Warmack used as a blocking dummy, Bradley Anai, Francis Bernard, and two DBs. So his being coach of the year, okay, I got it. But you also said he's got the best players. And think about it, of 22, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 were Utes. So how is he coach of the year over a guy that kicked his ass in the championship game who only had 25% of first team all-conference performers?
You have the other weird thing that doesn't make sense is Kayvon Thibodeau, Pac-12 freshman defensive player of the year, not good enough to be first or second
right.
team out of the whole conference? Like you're saying,
he got honorable mention, so in essence, he's third team.
That doesn't make sense. There's other freshmen that are. Were there other freshmen that were on those lists that made it that maybe he. I don't know.
And I've got a timeout that we need to research. It's a very important question and a legitimate text. Do they consider the Pac-12 championship part of the regular season, so the voting didn't happen until after the championship game, I believe. I want to find that out. That's a legit question, and you deserve to be called wise. Basiko Lukumbo, somebody mentioned. I'll look up there.
Basiko Lukumbo was in one of the journalism classes that I had, and it was right after the end of the season, his last year playing, and he was trying out for the Combine. And I was one morning watching the Combine on TV, and it was like, and there's Basiko Lukumbo with the linebackers. He ran his 40, saw him do a couple of other drills. He was the next day sitting next to me in class.
Really?
At like an 8 a.m. class, and he just got
was
back.
Was it against Stanford? He had that big pick six, maybe against Andrew Luck. I got to check in on that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a call, bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Couple of things. Just with what you've been talking about, how about Ugo Amadi?
Ugo Amadi. Ooh, Good one. Yeah. Loved here. Great reputation. Great player. With a guy who's
he's
that
playing.
Well, look, you know, the thing is, with a guy who's that recent, won't time tell more if he's underrated than this soon? I'm just asking.
Troy Hill?
Yeah, Troy Hill, who's still in the NFL and a really good player. So
Starting cornerback.
No, he's terrific, and yeah. He was one of those guys who, because of injuries, was forced to play early and ended up being a hell of a player.
Just real quick, you know, Didi signed with Philadelphia a one-year contract.
Yeah, how come the Yankees couldn't sign him to a one-year contract?
Because they're going to switch their infield. Like I told you a few months ago, they're going to get everything straightened out. They're going to have a shortstop at shortstop, a second baseman at second base, and I think that's going to work out really well.
Huh. All right, I'm a real big Didi fan.
I am too.
All right, well,
Philly.
I'm definitely not going to be a Philly fan. That's not going to happen.
Oh well, I still I hope the best for him.
Yeah, no, he's considering who he took over for and what he accomplished. He's good in my book for eternity.
I agree.
All right, good talking to you,
care.
Jack. Take care. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take one more call and bring in Larry. Larry, good afternoon. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. A bunch of us old-timers meet once a month, call it once a month, lunch bunch. And today our speaker was Ronnie Lee.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I've always been a big, huge fan all the way through his NBA career. He was a great speaker. He told us his resume from how he got recruited and how he started playing for Harder and all his state friends with all these guys. And there's quite a four or five of the old teammates still in the area. But what a gracious man he was. And I've always been a big fan, but he couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, it was just a real thrill to meet the guy.
No, it's awesome. It's amazing considering he played, 45 years ago? And when somebody who saw him play talks about him, you guys are always so passionate, like he just played last week. It's unique.
It's really unique.
I think it's awesome.
Well, you know, and we were talking about when Barthol took over for the Wizard of West from Westwood and come in and Duck, the fans were just crazy at Matt Court, and we were there. And Barthol said, "Those fans in Eugene are a bunch of deranged idiots."
No, I remember.
Pins made up, and I've still got mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, thanks.
Thank you for your show, and good luck in the future, and stay where you're at.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the call and the support. That's awesome. Oh, by the way, 4 minutes and 28 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, up 46-30, Boseko Lekumbo, a pick six against Andrew Luck in the 2011 game against Stanford. So, good memory, Stevie. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. It's Tuesday, right? We're okay here. What do you say we do this?
What are you doing?
Next, 95-3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk 953.
You're a fan of another team, you would like to at least be able to point to that and say, yes, well, it is littered with impropriety and they were the ones getting caught. Even if you're a Patriots fan on the other side, because I can hear that and I can also go the other way and say, well, I'm sure in a league full of hyper-competitive people from top to bottom of these organizations, everyone is efforting something that flirts with the line of cheating. But why do they keep getting caught? That would be the part that I would say to that, like, are you bad at it? Because you're great at everything else.
Yeah, that's, what's his name? Little Golic. On one of the ESPN shows, just freaking Belichick and these idiots are unbelievable. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time 95.3 The Score. It's that time on a Tuesday. when we wrap up Crunch Time with the audio version of emojis and acronyms, simply because people in the world of sports we follow warrant such actions. It's called, What Are You Doing? Nick leads off.
To everyone comparing Jameis Winston to a 25-year-old Peyton Manning, I ask,
what are you doing?
Lamest Jameis Winston had one of his best games of his career on Sunday, leading against the Colts, 33 of 45 passing, 456 yards, 4 touchdowns, was only sacked runs. He rushed for a 5th touchdown on the day. Tampa had to come from behind to win this game. It was great if you ignore the 3 interceptions. One of them on his 2nd passing attempt of the day, one of them was a pick 6. That's not good. Peyton Manning, even at 25 in his 4th year in the league, had already led the league in attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, and yes, one year where he led the league in INTs when he was a rookie. Manning was a 3-time Pro Bowler back when being a Pro Bowler kind of meant something. Jameis has never led the league in anything. He was a 1-time Pro Bowler, and he has as many 4th-quarter comebacks in his career as Manning did in the entirety of his 2nd season in the league. Quit it. Stop. Correlation does not equal causation. Have these football people not even seen the numbers or wondered how much better Tampa would be if Winston wasn't turning the ball over 3 times a game? That offense with Bruce Arians has them in the mix, and Winston is playing like an Alliance of American Football replacement quarterback. So stop comparing this below-average QB to a Hall of Famer, as I ask.
What are you doing?
I'm going with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, who we ask.
What are you doing?
So if you've followed us, this show, you know, I actually defend them during Deflategate, Spygate, because I don't believe a video or less air in the football made Tom Brady or New England elite. But I got to say, for the first time, I'm wondering. And the statement that they didn't knowingly cross the line. Are you kidding me? There was no line before 2007. Your organization actually invented it. It exists because of you. And perhaps my favorite follow-up by the hoodie that he didn't have anything to do with this. For the record, a videographer was caught taping the Bengal sideline during their last game. Since he is New England's next opponent, to believe anything happens with that team that the hoodie doesn't greenlight is delusional. And again, they got caught, and we'll see what Commissioner CTE does or doesn't do as we ask.
What are you doing?
To the Monday Night Football team crew that eulogized Eli Manning last night, I ask,
what are you doing?
Look, I get the New York Giants fans. It's very cool that they got to see one more Eli game, and we all had one more chance to see if he would turn himself into a meme, and as a nation, we could see this train wreck one more time. And I get, for Giants fans, seeing him come back from the bench is a great nostalgia bomb, and if it were to happen to my Falcons and Matt Ryan, I'd be eating every second up of that coverage. But my goodness, what was that? I wasn't listening to a lot of it, but there's video shots of him on draft day, career celebratory highlight montages. It really felt like Eli was going to be taken out back and put down Old Yeller style and never be seen of again. But forgive me if I'm wrong, there's still a chance that Eli plays next week if Danny Dimes isn't healthy, and he could end up playing another 3 to 4 games this year depending on how bad that ankle injury is. And this was a national celebration of life for Eli. Can we just wait for him to actually say he's retiring before we run this out next week too, as I ask?
What are you doing?
To the major Washington and Oregon State Twitter trolls, I ask,
what are you doing?
Seriously, what kind of mental malfunction have you people had in your pathetic lives? It's not a negotiation. Right now, Oregon is so much better than you at football, it's kind of embarrassing you're even willing to engage. And what does 1991 or anything that has happened in the past mean to 2019? Did I miss something? Did Washington beat Oregon? Did the Beavs win the Civil War? Did OSU or UW win the North? How about this? Did either UW or OSU come within 3 games of the North? I'll go one better. You really didn't come within 4, because being 4 back and losing the tiebreaker meant 5. And this just in, you only play 9 conference games, and if this were match play in golf, it's over on the 10th hole. So to that moron Husky fan who goes by college football quotes and is a fraud and a liar, or the OSU fan who goes by bucktooth chains, seek professional help. Find another hobby. This isn't working. You are foolish and an ass clown, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To whatever Art Basel is in that $120,000 banana that was taped to a wall, I ask.
What are you doing?
I know nothing about Art Basel. I don't even care enough to look up what it means, but when I heard someone spent $120,000 on a banana, congratulations, you got my attention. The thing that actually got my attention was someone that mentioned the was a piece of art that was just a banana duct taped to a wall, which is dumb enough. And I get that when you're it's seven and in first grade and you have your teacher and has you make that macaroni picture art frame for your parents for Christmas, that's because it's adorable. That bad art makes sense. When you're an adult who tapes something to a wall, that's dumb. And I'm pretty sure that some quote artist thought this was an amazing idea, and it was art. But I'm also mad that some idiot out there thought, one, bananas might actually cost that much, this could be a deal. Two, they have so much extra money to spend that much on whatever art is. And three, that person doesn't know how bananas work, and that in 3 days it's going to be brown and moldy and sprouting fruit flies. Almost got it. That is, it would have if another idiot didn't walk up to the banana and eat it. So some idiot who's probably making art took someone's 120 grand and ate it. I hate all of this, and I think it's time we unplug art and plug it back in again. We've gone too far, as I ask.
What are you doing?
To Jets running back Le'Veon Bell, I ask.
What are you doing?
So, quick story. In 1973, I was so ill I missed a month of school with viral pneumonia. As I healed, the doctor made it clear, don't push it. No hooping, no running around, no ball playing. And my dad was like, if you can't go to school, you can't play ball. Then he came home for lunch early one day, unexpectedly, and caught me playing Knicks versus Celtics in the basement, running around like a nut. He wasn't happy, though the Knicks did win. Last week, Bell missed practice with the flu, was unable to play in their game against Miami. But the night before the game, the dude who signed a four-year, $52 million contract and couldn't play was late night bowling with friends from 10 o'clock until 1:30. And there was alcohol involved, not verified he was cocktailing. They were there till closing time. And the team said, well, he wasn't with them at the hotel because he was contagious. So no specific team rule was violated, but there is no way around it. That is an horrible, awful look. Caught out, hanging with your buddies, partying maybe, and bowling the night before a game where you can't honor your $13 million a deal contract. Brutal look, as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right, looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to delve into Oregon football and the victory over Utah and look ahead to the Rose Bowl. Our buddy Tyson Alger of The Athletic will be checking in, and obviously much more to talk about. A lot of the good stuff you guys have contributed will roll over into Sports Talk, which happens to be next. 95.3, The Score.
He gone!